Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for December the 19th in the year of our Lord, 2022. Wow, it's already Christmas, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the broadcast. Our goal is to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country, and to do so on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the peaceful solutions we still have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome. Hope you had a God, family, country style weekend as I did. Now, we talked about the U.S. ready to help China on COVID-19 surge if they ask. We also know the question is being asked in mainstream press circles now. Is the mRNA technology behind the recurrence of COVID-19 symptoms among fully vaccinated individuals? A report by the Republican on the House, what do they call this thing? The House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence concludes there are indications that the COVID-19 pandemic is tied to China's biological weapons research program at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Did you hear me? The Republicans now, mainstream Republicans, are saying, hey, COVID-19 scandal tied to, listen, biological weapons research program in the Communist Nation of China. The SARS-CoV-2 virus, which the lawmakers believe was engineered at the lab, moved over to the general population during an incident, they say. The staff report says, according to Fox News Digital. And you look at that and you go, wow. They're literally blatantly admitting that it was created by the Communist Chinese in their weapons development programs. And they've already documented that we funded it. We were in bed with the Communist Chinese to create the COVID. And then they don't tell you how it was released, but they say an incident, whatever that means. They think it might have been by accidentally leaked. I think it was intentionally perpetrated on the world to see how far would let them go. It was a shot across the bow, ladies and gentlemen, to see will the people stand for liberty or will the people cave and can they remake society? Yeah, the global deep state wages holy war on America is what's going on, ladies and gentlemen. They want to attack Christian America and Christian beliefs and Christian understandings all around the world. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to ask the next question. Is a financial reset coming on the heels of this? And I predict to some degree they're certainly going to try. Will they get away with it? Time will tell. Then we had Chris Carlson on Saturday with us, and we talked about Arizona set to certify Carrie Lake's loss. Maricopa County files motion to dismiss Carrie Lake's lawsuit. The motion dismissed, they say, is because the claims to the legal arguments made by Lake are legal nonsense. That's all they have to say for themselves. It's legal nonsense, so we're going to dismiss. Forget the evidence in the case, et cetera, et cetera. Just go along with the prosecutors and say it's nonsense. Dereliction in duty as we find more election fraud. Joel Skousen, worldaffairsbrief.com, documents these, quote, money mules, if you will. We've heard about the voting mules, right? 2,000 mules. But this is money mules, where they literally donated tiny amounts of money over and over and over and over. Same people. Donor fraud going on, ladies and gentlemen. Every time we turn around, more evidence of fraud. But every time they continue to dismiss case after case after case. And after a while, Americans will find no redress of grievance and take action elsewhere. Pray it doesn't happen. Predicting if this continues that it will. Yeah, the fight for election integrity continues, according to True the Vote. And they say we hold one ideal as their true north. Listen carefully. We the people are more powerful than all of them. Amen to that reality check. Elections have been corrupted by 1,000 cuts. And the path to righting these wrongs will be by 1,000 measures rather than a single victory that fixes everything. Here's the True the Vote solution. You ready? Our numbers are greater than theirs, right? But they say this: when we show up, when we stand up, when we speak out to expose the exploitation of election process, our actions will drive change, ladies and gentlemen. Amen to that. Officials from the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security frequently met with the heads of major social media companies and pointed out information that should be removed and users that should be banned. That's according to the state attorney generals of Missouri and Louisiana, standing up, telling the truth. We found that the FBI plays a big role in working with social media companies to censor speech. Yeah, and they literally met ahead of the 2020 election, flat out asking for account takedowns, literally manipulating the information we get, thus manipulating elections. Facebook then suspends the laptop Hunter Biden story. Twitter suppressed the story under its policy against hacked information, even though there's no evidence that the information was hacked. Since filing our lawsuit, these two attorney generals say, we've discovered troves of information that shows a massive censorship enterprise, Mr. Schmidt said. Now we're deposing top government officials, and we're one of the first to get a look under the hood about the information that we've received regarding this. It is shocking, to say the least. It's clear that the Department of Homeland Security, in bed with FBI, literally were censoring Americans' speech. That's what Landry, the other attorney general, added. Yeah. So anyway, we talked about all that in great detail. I'm going to leave the second hour of discussion on Tuesday or on Saturday for a little later in the broadcast with Dr. Scott Bradley, because it's so different in discussion from what we want to talk about now. Dr. Bradley, welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir. Hope you guys had a delightful weekend.
Well, it's been a frosty the snowman weekend. I mean, it was
amen to that.
Seven below zero this morning, still below zero, although it's inching up or notching up very, very slowly. Yeah, I guarantee a white Christmas in my neck of the woods. Don't know if we'll have a lot of new snow. Maybe we'll have some, but we got a gob of it now, so I guess it'll stay cold. But that's what a lot of people look for, is a white Christmas, right?
Amen to that. And comparing to last year, we have the same amount of snow already this year than we had last year at about February's time. So we're a couple of months ahead, and if that holds true and we continue to get the water we hope for, it might be a season to reduce the drought status we've been in for such a long time. That would be a blessing and a half. We pray for it.
Well, absolutely. We need the water. But I guarantee, I mark my words, Sam, I don't care how much we get this year. It'll still be, oh, ain't it awful, we're all going to die by the official reports. I am just shocked at how there's just this dreary hopelessness that seems to drip off the lips of those that seem to be the so-called leaders of this nation and this, well, our state particularly. I was in a meeting, I think I might have mentioned this before, and we don't need to get distracted with this. There's people that want to pump water from the Pacific Ocean to refill the Great Salt Lake. And it's like, huh.
They've lost their marbles, man.
I wonder how far they'll come. I mean, first of all, how big's the pipe? How many billions will it cost? How long will it take? And why are they going to refill it clear to the Bonneville Lake level, which would put most of the communities in the state underwater? Or are they just going to fill it far enough so that they can start paying for their boondoggle, their multi-million dollar boondoggle, where they put pumps in the West Desert of Utah because they were worried the lake was going to get too deep someday? I mean, holy cow, they've never pumped one drop of water since they put those in decades ago, and it was just a plain, flat-out white elephant that's out there in the middle of the desert. these people
well,
that
it's like
run
their
things,
plans to suck CO2 or this or that out of the,
yeah.
the atmosphere and this kind of stuff too. These people are crazy. The more they tamper with the environment, the more trouble we're going to have, Doctor. They're just going to create their own crisis that they do over and every time we tamper with God's creations, every time we tamper with the proper rule of government, every time we tamper with anything that's holy, it seems like we just run it off the rails. And then our reaction is instead of to back off and stop doing it, they just have another plan to run it off the rails the other direction.
Yeah, they double down on everything. And it's like create a problem and create another quote-unquote solution that exacerbates the problem, and then they got to create another solution to that problem. It's just astounding to me, and it's kind of like, putting forth our puny arm to change the Mississippi River or the Missouri River or any, the Niagara Falls. I mean, think of the forces of nature that are out there, and we just are absolutely determined that we're going to work our will on these things. And every single one of them has a huge socialist solution to it. And one of the reasons they're so focused, I believe, on the atmosphere is that the environment is everything. It completely engulfs everything, how we get our food.
Air, water, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Anything.
All right, when we come back, I want to talk about democracy in relation to this, too. Because now Elon Musk trying to run Twitter by democracy, which I think he can do what he wants with his own personal private company, but I think it spells trouble if we continue to believe in this dishonest, immoral, manipulative, dishonest democracy philosophy. We'll talk about it in seconds on your radio.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com. Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
All right, so I'm not liking this push towards democracy from Elon Musk. I get that he can do what he wants with his own company, but we've swung the pendulum from tyrannical government control now to flat-out unbridled people control. Both, in my opinion, extremes are dangerous and will lead to anarchy slash tyranny. The continued reality of history becomes evident, ladies and gentlemen. But let me give you the two headlines, and then we'll have Dr. Bradley discuss this with us here. The first one is, he says this, quote, the people have spoken. Elon Musk backtracks big time, brings back journalists and pundits he just suspended. Okay, so we get crazy tyrannical, suspends him, and then goes, whoops, hold on, let's do a poll, and the people have spoken. Now Twitter users overwhelmingly in a poll from Musk to step down as CEO. Yes, significantly more than half of 17.5 million users who responded to a poll that asked, hey, should Elon Musk just step down? They overwhelmingly said yes. And then the poll got closed. So now does that mean that Elon Musk just steps down because the masses say so? I'm very concerned about this push towards democracy idea. They've hailed the term, pretending it's synonymous with a constitutional republic for decades. But now they're literally trying to lead by example to where pretty soon everybody's going to riot and say democracy is the only way to go. Doctor, they're jettisoning all the, in my opinion, protections that have been put in place by wise founding fathers who understood democracy is just as dangerous as tyranny. Sir?
Well, democracy is tyranny. It's a tyranny of the masses. And, if you can get some kind of very smooth-tongued devil up there convincing the ignorant masses, and we are very largely ignorant anymore, of this or that or the other, you get the movement going, and it's a tsunami, and pretty soon, holy cow, we've just overrun all of the banks. And not just, I'm talking about the financial banks, I'm talking about the banks of the river. And it's so interesting to me, your mention of democracy keys a lot of thoughts in my mind. We could probably spend hours on this, but let me just, you talk about the decades that this has been going on. The humanists are running our schools. It's a de facto religion. It's a faith-based belief system that has no divine God. It's a system that violates the First Amendment because it has established a taxpayer-paid religious belief system, albeit not a divine God. It's a belief in man's wisdom. But it's faith-based. It truly is, and it's not much we can base our faith on. But at any rate, that the humanists have put out three manifestos, one in 1933, one in 1973, and one in 2003, if I recall. Anyway, out of the 1973 Humanist Manifesto, we read what is these manifestos have become the de facto lesson plan for United States schools. Oh, yeah, absolutely. If you read these manifestos and you can't see what's being taught every single day to the children in our education system, you need to do a recalibration of your ability to connect the dots.
And not only single day, but hours and hours of every single day, more than parents, more than church, more than anybody else has, FaceTime with children, these people and this agenda do and does, so to speak.
Absolutely. There's no question. This religion rules. It's the secular. It's a civil religion in America. Tragically. We've forgotten the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then maybe I'll give you what comes out of this manifesto. We must extend participatory democracy in its true sense to the economy, the school, the family, the workplace, and voluntary associations. So this is what Elon Musk is doing, and this is why it's so easily embraced by everybody. Oh, yeah, we get the word on this thing. Well, you know what? Sometimes the word is, if you get spun this way so long, so many decades, by a false religion in our education system that's drummed into the heads of the kids, when they go into the university life, they get lower education, if you will, that destroys further faith in correct principles. So this democracy concept truly is drummed into the heads of the people. And what we need to understand is the words of the Founding Fathers. In May 31st, 1787, at the beginning of the Constitution Convention, Edmund Randolph, out of Virginia, told his fellow delegates the purpose of the convention was, quote, to provide a cure for the evils under which the United States labored, that in tracing these evils to their origin, every man had found in it the turbulence and follies of democracy. Okay, so, and we could go at length what had been written. I mean, the Founding Fathers were clearly well-versed in the Greek democracy concept, for example, how they really boogered up everything in society based upon democracies. They weren't just making up words when they came up with the Republic. They understood these things very, very, very clearly. And so it's very interesting to me that as we go down the road just a little bit, when Marx published his Scurrilous Manifesto, the Communist Manifesto, they mentioned that in order to win over communism, we must win the battle for democracy. You go forward a little bit further and you look at what Woodrow Wilson, for example, but at the same time he was saying it about democracy in the world. Lenin, not John Lennon, okay, some of you people don't understand that Russian leader that with the revolution was Lenin. Lenin said that democracy was just a stepping stone into communism. And then you go forward a little bit further into the 1930s, you listen to what Chairman Mao said. He wasn't chairman then, but he was doing this communist revolution. He said that it is absolutely a stepping stone into communism. So here what we have today, and if you listen to presidents and pundits and you listen to media people and politicians, everything, all they can say is about this democracy nonsense. It was no way, shape, or form. It was intended to be a democracy. You look at the fourth article of the Constitution. Every state's guaranteed a democracy? No! It's a republic. And the concepts of republics and democracies are universes apart. And what?
And not only sadly, that, when it says guarantee, what does that mean? See, we let this kind of slide, we let this go, and I even bring up the politicians oftentimes whenever they use the word democracy on the radio, and I say, you know, even though we don't have a democracy, we have a Republican. They're like, yeah, I know, we have a Republican democracy or democracy, a Democratic Republic, or, and they go on and just try to justify their Democratic claims or democracy claims, even though it's not factual. Instead of understanding the correction made, they just justify their democracy push.
Well, here's the deal. We can go back to when Washington was president and Jefferson was Secretary of State. A Frenchman by the name of Edmond Genet came to the United States. And it's a very fascinating story. We don't have time to review it, I'm sure. But Edmond Genet was the ambassador from France, and he was part of these revolutionary guys that were over there doing their nonsense because of the Illuminati. Well, what he did is he came, as he meandered his way to come and meet Washington, he created Democratic Republic clubs across the country, wherever he went. When Jefferson and Washington heard of it, they were livid, absolutely livid. They very publicly and very pointedly decried these Democratic Republican committees, or not committees, but clubs. And when they did so, they disappeared. The whole country turned their back on them. Now, revisionist historians have said, oh, yeah, Jefferson was a Democratic Republican. No, he wasn't. They never used the term. They were for the Republic. And people later on, these revisionist historians, changed and they modified and they said, oh, yeah, the origins of this party is the Democratic Republicans. Well, later on, there were some that adopted that. There's no question. But none of the Founding Fathers did. And so this is a complete fallacy, how democracy has been woven into this thing. And so for, let's come back to Elon Musk for a minute. Elon Musk, as you pointed out, it's his company. I think he very foolishly will listen to the democracy blather that's out there. But it is something that has been taught to our children for so many decades. The participatory democracy concept is going to be extended into the workplace. And Musk is not an individual that's immersed in the Americanist principles that made us the country we were. I say were, past tense. But Musk has no idea. And he's going to go with this democracy thing, and it will further strengthen the movement for democracy in this country, sadly.
I'm calling this section the clear and present danger of democracies, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Lance Pry. Severe turbulence jolted a flight from Phoenix to Honolulu Sunday, seriously injuring 11 people in what a Hawaiian Airlines official called an isolated and unusual event. John Snook, the airline COO, said the airline hasn't experienced an incident of this nature in recent history. The flight was full, carrying 278 passengers and 10 crew members, when severe turbulence disrupted the flight. 20 people in all were taken to hospitals when the plane landed in Hawaii. Along the U.S. southern border, Americans have no choice to prepare for a record number of immigrants entering the USA illegally. Some conservative estimates say as many as 5,000 people a day will be released onto the streets of America. Texas Governor Republican Greg Abbott on ABC News.
Whether it's COVID or some other issue, when you have people coming across the globe without knowing at all what their health status is, that almost by definition is a public health risk.
In an extreme view of transparency, Elon Musk has been releasing Twitter documents showing government agencies meeting with Twitter executives to discuss what should be censored from the American people on the platform. Now Elon wants you to chime in. Should he stay or should he go as CEO?
The controversial CEO posted a poll as a tweet on Sunday asking if he should step down as head of the social media platform. The majority of the nearly 10 million voters want Musk to exit his perch. A follow-up tweet from Musk, as the saying goes, be careful what you wish, as you might get it. I'm Jerry Barmash.
Cadillac Frank Salem, the once powerful New England mafia boss who was serving a life sentence behind bars for the 1993 killing of a Boston nightclub owner, has died at the age of 89 in prison. Salem led the Patriarca crime family in Boston in the early 1990s. This is USA News.
The holidays are here. Achieve gifting greatness when you give perfectly aged, tender, delicious Omaha Steaks. The steak experts at Omaha Steaks have curated special gift packages to take the guesswork out of gifting and make you a holiday hero. Go to omahasteaks.com and take advantage of 50% off site-wide. Plus, use code TREAT at checkout to get an additional $40 off your order. Send an assortment of mouthwatering favorites guaranteed to impress, like the legendary Butcher's Cut Filet Mignon, Air-Chilled Boneless Chicken, Ultra Juicy burgers, even easy to prepare, ready in a flash comfort meals. Omaha Steaks is ready to ship your order right away, so shop early and beat the shipping rush. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code TREAT at checkout. Omaha Steaks is a gift from the heart, remembered with every unforgettable bite. Order with complete confidence today, knowing you're ordering the very best. Visit omahasteaks.com, get 50% off site wide, plus use promo code TREAT at checkout to get that extra $40 off your order. Minimum order may be required.
All right, back with you live. We're talking about the clear and present danger of democracy, ladies and gentlemen. And democracy is a big enough concern. But I believe tyranny is just as big of a concern. And really, one is the same as the other, to be factual about the matter. But here's the problem. They're using tyranny on one end and the will of the people on the other end as the two bookends of the Hegelian dialectic, ladies and gentlemen. It is disaster. All right, so listen to this. The latest Twitter files. The FBI was in constant and pervasive contact with social media companies. Agents literally sent social media companies lists of users to be suspended, writes Art Moore of WND.com. Think about that. Musk hints now that he's unearthed messages from Dr. Anthony Fauci's team urging Twitter to censor anyone who didn't comply with the federal government's official narrative on COVID-19 vaccines. So just how much did Twitter do to get Biden elected? Bob Unruh, WND.com. Editorial calls out Twitter for, quote, unreported political contributions in kind. The assistance for Biden and the Democrats was overwhelmingly in the Democrats' favor. A commentary was in the Washington Examiner. It had no name on it. Nobody wants to take the heat, but they want to tell the tale, right? On Friday, it called out Twitter for, quote, unreported in-kind political contributions to Democrats by helping amplify their messages and suppress opposing messages. The unsigned editorial pointed out that during the, quote, 2020 election, the Biden presidential campaign's heavy use of Twitter to get unhelpful tweets removed is undeniable. You're talking about the Washington Examiner kind of stuff, folks. Mainstream press, right? Typically not even our favorite people. I mean, they're better than some, but, you know. Right? And you look at all this, Dr. Bradley, and you say, I believe that tyranny from government is what they're pushing against now. And they're acting like that's the enemy. And it is. That's true. But the lie is in that we need to be pushed into the arms of pure democracy because that'll save us all. Another Hegelian dialectic manipulated lie. Doctor?
Absolutely. The end result is a poison pill for everybody. Now, I'm going to bring up something that most Americans don't have any idea. And it's time we started becoming historically knowledgeable so we don't have to step in the same mess that we do constantly. You know, most people think of, when you think of fascists, they got these jackbooted guys and the brown shirts and, you know, the Gestapo and all that kind of stuff. You know, the fascists ruled in much of Europe in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s. And horrifically bad, you know, it was tyranny to the nth degree.
Evil, no question.
No question about that. Of course, the thugs on the other side were communists, and they were evil, bad, and nasty, too. I mean, there's no question. It was evil to the core. But the reason I bring up the idea, you think of these jackbooted brown shirts that are goose-stepping across the world, they were called fascists. And a hallmark or a keystone of fascism is a government-private collaboration. And government directs, and the private industry carries it out. See, in communism, the government owns the factories and everything else like that. You know, they own the media, they own the Pravda, the newspaper, whatever. The government does. And but in fascism, you have ownership, private ownership of industry and media and everything else like that, but the government tells you what to do with it. And so if you have a shoe factory, they tell you to make combat boots or whatever. You know, you keep your own private ownership, but you get to make combat boots because they've directed it. Well, in large measure, we have a fascist organization or a fascist philosophy going on in the United States today with the government directing the media sources or elements of society to do certain things on behalf of the government. And people are really loath to admit that we've become a fascist society. Now, of course, we've got all the elements of communism in there, too. And in fact, if you did a real true analysis of it, FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, had a really strong blend of fascism and communism and how he was running the United States with his iron fist.
Yeah, and then they put a different kind of socialism in there to make you feel like certain socialism is okay, and they temper it all. And we've got really elements of all of the above, right?
We do. Democratic socialism or you know, the Labor Party or whatever. I mean, you put a rose by any other name is still a rose, though. It's tyranny. And so here we have in the United States, sadly, it appears that some of these Gestapo elements, and I don't know how to call them anything but that. Now, there probably are still honorable people that in the ranks of some of these leading government agencies, but it seems like they have been co-opted into an arm of the government to cause things to happen in a fascist mode, where you have FBI agents, or whether it's TSA or FDA or the CDC or, I mean, National Institute of Health. I mean, you got Fauci in there telling these people what to do in the private media world. You've got the FBI telling them what to do and actually giving them directives. It really is a very sad replay of the 1930s Germany. And this idea that you know, nowadays the guys at the airport wear blue shirts. Well, they wore brown ones in the 1930s. Papers? I mean, you know, come on. This is not how a free society works. We don't build dossiers on people and leverage them. I mean, Communist China does that with all of their social scores and all this kind of stuff. But it is astounding to me. And we've talked about this a week and a half ago when we talked about the, facial recognition and how all these things are tied into finances and social media scores and everything. Utah is right at the very forefront of that. Utah has become one of the bleeding edges of tyranny in the United States. But it's done on a very large scale right now. It's just appalling to me how the FBI has become this Gestapo, along with the TSA, along with the National Institute of Health and the Center for Disease Control and the FDA. I mean, these guys are directing and dictating. It's not a narrative, Sam. It is a script. It's not, you know, you say, oh, a narrative or a philosophy or maybe a storyline. Okay, all of those things kind of apply. This is a written script that we're being directed to think and act certain ways based upon the way the leadership has decided we've got to go. And this COVID nonsense is an absolute excellent example.
Yeah, but and your all point about a narrative is a narrative allows for a little bit of interpretation, a little bit of view. You cannot stray from the script. If you do, you're done. If you do, you're blatantly, belligerently attacked and destroyed. And that's kind of what Elon Musk is starting to experience now, to the point where he's already considering bailing. He hasn't even had the helm for more than a couple of weeks now, and he's already melting down because he cannot deal with the heat. See, this guy's an inside rich guy, and he's had buddies that are liberal forever, and now everybody he knows is turning on him, and he's melting down over it, right?
Well, if you live in an echo chamber, and all you do is get regenerative feedback that kind of regurgitates to you the narrative, script, whatever you want to call it, that you've been fostering. Here's the problem, though. The guy owns the company. You know, he could tell everybody to pound sand, take a long walk on a short pier.
And that's what he ought to do, by the way. He ought to just simply say, listen, we're not going to play your games. We're not going to censor. We're not going to deny. This is not a democracy. I own this company. Here's the rules and here's why. And I do think, for the most part, he ought to let people have their own free speech. I think there are lines that if you cross, you should be banned from Twitter. Okay? You cannot commit illegal activity and use the platform to foment that. Okay? You just can't. The other thing I don't really like is the doxing of people, putting people in harm's way or jeopardy. And the mainstream press flirted with that line when they published data about his real-time whereabouts, if you will. They claim, well, it's all on public information. Well, that's another problem to discuss. But nevertheless, I don't believe doxing people is the answer either, because you create this intimidation and fear and put people in harm's way. Elon Musk called them assassination coordinates. Hey, can you skip the break? I don't know that it would go that far for assassination coordinates, but I will say, there should be some guidelines that should be clear about you being removed from Twitter. If you do certain things, you should not be allowed to peddle the message. But it doesn't cross the free speech discussion. It crosses more of the illegality and the creating of harm's way. For example, you can't yell fire in a crowded theater discussion. Now, I know that's an old adage, but it kind of highlights what we're getting at here. You can't use your speech to flat out create harm. If you call to assassinate someone or kill someone or whatever, you shouldn't be allowed to do those things. You shouldn't be able to literally threaten people. You know, your speech precedes the actions, kind of a thing. But barring those obvious guidelines, I think that we need to leave it to free speech. But see, Elon doesn't have any reference point by which to create stability in a standard from. He's all over the map because he doesn't have the education. Now, I know when he talks about science, he's supposed to be the most educated guy in the room. But I submit the fact that he's waffling everywhere. He doesn't know what to do, and he lacks the education in these matters, Doctor.
You know, if you go back to the original intent of the American Founding Fathers, and, you know, I mean, here goes Bradley again. We're going to do this, you know. But you look at the First Amendment, and, you know, this idea of religion and free exercise and bridging the freedom of speech and the press and so on, peaceably assemble. You know, we have completely perverted that First Amendment in the United States. And the original intent was not, you know, nude dancing and perverse, profane speeches and everything else. That wasn't even on their mind at all. What was central to the whole idea of free speech and the press and the right of the people to peaceably assemble was to maintain liberty. Now, I'm not saying liberty to be licentious. I'm talking about liberty to preserve the blessings of proper government, this general welfare that we talk about in the Constitution, this predictable, stable, proper government that allows people to be free to create families, start businesses, go about relocating wherever you want to or whatever. That was the concept behind the free speech, the press, and the peaceably assemble, was to make absolutely certain that when things got, well, let's say a government began to usurp power. Let's say there was somebody that was in a high place that was doing illegal activities. Let's say there was people that were saying it's okay to kill babies or whatever, okay? We would have the freedom to counter those ideas. What if someone was saying, we needed to throw habeas corpus out the door. We needed to lock everybody down. We needed to shut the economy down. We needed to violate the right of contract between peoples because there was a virus running around the country. Well, this free speech stuff and free press stuff was there so that we could vocalize. We could warn. I mean, we're talking the Paul Revere stuff. You know, these committees of correspondence. But back in the old days, these guys ran around and they taught people about liberty. We try to do it on the radio. I try to do it in my presentations, in my books, all those kind of things. We try to keep people aware. And those old days, they had to actually ride a horse out to Lexington and tell them about what was going on. But see, that was what they were protecting. And if someone has a counterpoint, that was to be brought up. Now, what we have done, in essence, today with our federal election laws and all that, we have shut down free speech and freedom of press. We have controlled through the FBI directing Twitter or whomever, Facebook, whomever, YouTube. We can talk about all the things that have been shut down based upon their filtering process. And it's very apparent now that happened from the most official levels, where the fascists at the head of this country have had a collaborative effort with private industry to control and contain, so that the only official narrative, the only narrative was the official narrative. And churches adopted it. I mean, they might as well have been basically a commercial, safe and effective, you know, for the pharma companies. So it's so interesting to me, these large institutional bodies are either capitulating or collaborating openly with having these things down. But the First Amendment was to make certain there was a dialogue, there was a warning, so the people could say over our dead body, the heck you say, we are not going to allow this to happen. But what happened was, it's misleading information. We can't allow that to happen. You know what? Do you think the Big Brother needs to help you think every thought you ever need to think in your life? And if you do, you're no longer an American. Depart from us. Crouch down and lick the hands that feed you. We need to recognize we have brains in our heads. God gave us intelligence. We need to exercise that. We need to become conversant on what is correct, what is true and wise principles, the basis of every good thing that's happening. We violate it at every turn nowadays. And it's something that's being directed from the highest levels of the government in violation of the First Amendment. And some of these big media companies, all they are is just being directed by the fascists, and they've made this pact, I guess, or so it's a death pact almost. They will lose their freedom of speech too if it gets too far down the road. And people need to say, no, this is not the way the founders intended this thing. It's the way Hitler or Mussolini or Stalin or Mao, any of these great tyrants, they would love to be in the position the big tech is today. They'd love to be in the position of Fauci, the Fauci facade. Holy Hannah. I just am appalled.
And I've got some good news a little bit. There's a documentary film out now. I don't know if you know this, but it's called Theaters of War. And this documentary called Theaters of War exposes that the Pentagon and the CIA are behind thousands of movies and television shows. It turns out that the film breaks down the extraordinary level of control that the military has been put over every single film you've ever seen that has military equipment. It's scripted control, putting the military in a different light than reality, ladies and gentlemen. It is shocking, okay? They want to change reality of the military, war, history, etc. This film breaks it down like nobody's business. We don't even have... It's hard when you have such a vacuum or manipulated echo chamber, as you mentioned, Dr. Bradley, where, you know, even guys like us have a hard time thinking outside of it. And we're pretty good at it because we reject most narratives or most scripts that are put together. But even this is so pervasive, at some point, if you don't have any reference of reality, how do you stick with it? How do you get true north? How do you... And the only thing I can look to is the Founding Fathers and to God. And I don't mean in that order either. God, obviously, and then the Founding Fathers. But I'm saying I look at those two things for my guidance. I look at that we need to avoid parties and foreign wars like the plague. I look at we need religion and morality as the two supports. But this documentary is shocking. Just highlighting what we're now getting evidence of. Before it used to be, oh, Operation Mockingbird, whatever, or oh, this is happening, oh, it can't be, that can't be true. Now we're getting hard evidence to the points we've been making for decades, Doctor.
You know, this propaganda machine has been operational, and I some years ago, and it's been quite a while ago, probably 18 years ago, I did a pretty in-depth study of the propagandization of official narratives. And the war scenario is one of the most blatantly and easily tracked. The shaping of images and perspectives and so on and so forth. You know, we got this popular thing in recent history of movies about Captain America. Captain America was originally a propaganda piece that was started back in World War II. I mean, it's just absolutely astounding that, this has been very well done, very well manipulated. Hollywood's always been involved in that. It's so absolutely directive. You know, you look at the big stars that made movies in World War II. You look at what happened when, you know, we had a narrative that, you look at the Iraq War, you look at the Afghanistan War, and you get this, we got to support the troops concept, and we have big National Defense Authorization Acts, and everybody, the idea of supporting the troops for unconstitutional wars, for things that were engaged in without any justification, weapons of mass destruction, where the heck were they? All of these kinds of things, but we get this narrative that the military rides on this. So is it really the military? No, it's the military-industrial complex. These large industrial behemoths that have trillions of dollars literally spent over years from taxpayer dollars to export death and destruction. The real support of the troops is to use them appropriately. Don't put them in harm's way unless there's a just war that has been constitutionally entered into. We haven't had one of those in my lifetime, ever. And you say, well, you're a 16-year-old. No, I'm not. Not once in my lifetime have we had a constitutional war. We have not had a single solitary instance where we've not only gone about it constitutionally or even justly. And we get spun into these things. You look at how the current Ukraine war is going to keep the goons that are pillaging and plundering American taxpayers and have been doing diabolical things there for so long. I mean, it's a playground for organized crime. And we have people in the highest places of this nation that are participating in that. And we get these propagandized things going. And I haven't seen this movie that you're talking about. In fact, it's the first time I've even heard of it when you brought it up. But am I doubting it? No. If they do a good job of presenting it, I need to go see this. But it has been going on forever. And in the lifetime of all your listeners, I can guarantee. And we just need to say, we've been had. I mean, if their lips are moving, they're lying to us. That's kind of how it's being propagated right now. The whole COVID thing was a lie. I mean, was there a problem? Sure. Did we create it? Sure. Was it created at the highest levels of the government? Yes, it was. And the highest levels of those that are seeking to overthrow our freedom are still involved in it, and we're going to replay it. I can see it coming down the pike again. They'll try and get our attention again. We need Nuremberg-type trials to be held, and individuals like Fauci need to be held up for the diabolical minion that he is. And so do
Amen.
The people.
And
that
I haven't seen this movie either, Dr. Bradley, but I just discovered it in my research for this show. When we talk about Twitter and this Hegelian dialectic of either tyranny and or democracy being the two bookends here, and this documentary Theaters of War exposes that the Pentagon and the CIA are behind thousands of TV shows, movies, etc. When you consider that, you say, wow, what's the real deal? Where do we really sit on some of these things? And it's so hard, even people like us who are pretty astute, when there's no reference point. It reminds me of a pilot when you're in the air. If you have no instruments and you're in a storm, you can't know if you're going down, up, left, right. You just cannot know. And that's what they've done to us, is they've taken away any reference point that can hold us to true north, that can give us a gauge. They've taken away all the typical instruments that we would use to know where we are and where we're going and where we want to go. And that's the problem here, ladies and gentlemen. When we get back, though, I've got some good news. And we'll break this up second hour if you can stay with me, Dr. Bradley. Second hour, I'm going to go right into what students are doing about it across the country. Our own Brigham Young University is at the center of it. And it's pretty interesting about what's being done. There are good people who have a moral compass. Okay? Look, they've tried to take away
BYU?
Every instrumentation.
Are you kidding me?
There's some good students. I'll tell you about them. Hang tight.
Holy
so,
Hannah, I'd
look,
like to hear
taken
about
away,
them.
They've taken away all our instruments of true north, ladies and gentlemen. All our instruments to know where we are. And the only thing we have left now is to turn to God Almighty and pray like the Dickens. And celebrate Christmas and turn to Christ and say, hey, help me know what's right and wrong. And then over time, Liberty Roundtable Live, these students that I speak of, good people everywhere can bring back a semblance, a modicum of reference point for understanding. To me, it starts with God, family, and country to point you in the right direction for starters. We have got to work on this as a people together. Okay, hour one in the can. Dr. Bradley with me, second hour. We'll talk about it all. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips, always at libertyroundtable.com, lovingliberty.net. Spread the word, share the love. Merry Christmas. We the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, can and will restore America. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.